Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, February the 4th. You know, this is the third evening of our winter storm. It started on Wednesday night, the temperatures began to drop, and then, of course, on Thursday, it really went down. We actually got some snow in the afternoon. It was pretty nasty. And then today, we woke up. It was pretty nasty. But then in the afternoon, the temperatures went up a little bit. And as a consequence, you know, we're doing a lot better. It should be clear by tomorrow. So our winter storm of 2022 came. It didn't do a lot of harm, but it should be on its way out Saturday. And it was really an amazing and an absolutely amazing experience because, you know, I have a post over at the American Thinker today, Friday, talking about how Beto O'Rourke thought of using this particular winter storm as a campaign strategy because he wanted to attack the governor, Governor Abbott. And there's no question that what happened in 2021 was bad. I mean, we had people dying in their homes because the heating systems wouldn't work, because the electricity wouldn't run. I mean, it was a disaster what happened in 2021. And I think the governor learned his lesson. And this year, he was very proactive from the very beginning, very proactive, and had put together a team and was out there quite well organized. And they were, you know, holding press conferences and so on. But as it turned out, we had enough capacity to supply the electricity for everybody. So it ended up being, you know, we didn't have the problem that we had in 2021. And for Beto O'Rourke, who invested so much of his early campaign strategy on the idea that, gee, we were going to have a repeat of 21. Well, it didn't work out that way for Beto. He's going to have to come up with a different strategy because talking about the winter storm is not going to work anymore because the winter storm came. We had we had some cold weather, but the power grid held up quite well. And that's the end of the issue. As I say, Beto is going to have to come up with a different topic for 2022. You know, President Biden was in New York City to talk about crime. As I'm sure all of you know, crime is devastating our cities, whether it's New York City, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Chicago, Milwaukee, Kansas City, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Seattle, LA, San Francisco. All of these cities are facing a terrible crime wave. And what all these cities have in common, of course, is that they have Democrat leadership and very left of center Democrat leadership, more like woke leadership. And they basically have not been supporting the police, and they've been releasing criminals and treating everything like it's not that big of a deal. And, of course, the consequence is levels of criminality that are making these cities extremely unsafe for people. So as a consequence, you know, you're having problems in New York City. New York City just elected a new mayor, Eric Adams. He came in the first of the year, and he ran on a campaign of being very tough on crime. That was his slogan, that he was going to be very tough on crime. And, you know, so far, let's give him a chance. He's only been there for a month. And President Biden went up there hoping to give him a little support and saying that, you know, we're not for defunding the police and all that kind of stuff. The problem with the president is that he's 2 years late. He should have been saying these things when he was a candidate. This should have been more focused by the Democrats on what was happening in all these cities where they were burning down cities, attacking police officers. And the Democrats should have been more vocal about this a couple of years ago. The other problem that Mr. Biden faces is that he went to New York City to talk about the crime problem, and all he did was talk about guns. Well, you know, guns are part of the problem. I'm not going to deny that we shouldn't talk about guns, but that's not the problem. It's not that we don't have enough gun control or enough gun laws. They have plenty of those. What we need is, frankly, a tougher attitude with criminals. We need to, you know, make some of these district attorneys get off of this stupid idea that they're not going to prosecute crime, that certain crimes are not going to be prosecuted. And we got to stop, you know, releasing these people. That's the other problem. We keep releasing these people out in the streets, and then they go out and commit some terrible crime. So that's what the the focus should be supporting the police and defending our cities against these criminals. Well, President Biden went up there. He gave the usual gun control speech, and nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen because, again, New York City does not have a gun control problem. What they have is a criminal control problem. And I'm hoping that the mayor of New York City did not listen to President Biden. I'm hoping that he will implement the kinds of policies that Mayor Giuliani implemented, my goodness, many years ago. And then those policies were followed by Mayor Bloomberg. And he obviously was very tough on criminals. And everything went to heck, you know, when Mayor de Blasio came in and he started, you know, moving to the left and focusing more, it seems, on releasing criminals and on actually prosecuting them. And New York City has become a very unsafe city to live in right now. And the people are very angry. You had recently two young police officers who were killed, and, you know, attacks on the police are becoming quite prominent, and the people are fed up. The people are just fed up. Talk to anybody in New York City, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So, you know, President Biden didn't do Mayor Adams any favor by going up there and talking about gun control. What he should have told them is, look, get tough with criminals, start prosecuting criminals, and we'll support you from the federal government. That's what they need. And yeah, we'll give you the resources. And if you need troops on the streets, I can do that too, if it gets out of hand. I can do that too, as other presidents have done in the past. But right now, the Democrat Party, the whole defunding the police issue is hurting the Democrat Party, even though I know most Democrats don't support that. Enough of them do. And unfortunately, because they're the vocal ones, they're the ones on Twitter, they're the ones on news, you know, at the news reports, and they're the ones that talk in Congress. What you now have right now is a Democrat Party that is being seen by most Americans as being very weak in the prosecution of criminals. And that's just hurting the party. It's hurting the party a great deal. And until they come together and realize how much this is hurting them, they're going to continue to lose elections. And I expect the whole question of crime to be a very serious problem for the Democrats in November. And this is why I think most people are expecting the Democrats to pick up the House or the Republicans to pick up the House and perhaps even the Senate, because the public is very dissatisfied with the Democrat Party and their weakness when it comes to crime. And I'm not even talking about the border. That's a totally different issue. But again, it's the same principle. They're not enforcing the law. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking a little bit about, you know, President Biden's trip to New York. I just don't think it helped the city of New York any, having the president fly up there and talk about gun control. That's not their problem, and I hope the mayor listened to the president and then decides to do what Rudy Giuliani did many years ago when he cleaned up that city very effectively. You know, the Olympics are going on right now, and I guess they're on NBC. I'm not a big fan of the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics. You know, I'll catch a hockey game here and there, but I'm not a big fan of the winter sports. So I'm not the kind of person that would be watching the Olympics or the Winter Olympics. You know, there are some interesting scenes, you know, like the ceremony, the opening ceremony, and that kind of thing. But other than that, I'm not a big fan. And this year, because it's being held in China, and you have all these allegations of human rights. They're not allegations. They're actual instances of human rights violations in China. And you've got what happened with the virus and how little China cooperated with the United States and the world. I guess I'm not really in the mood right now to support anything going on in China. And I don't know what kind of an audience they're going to have. It'll be interesting to watch what the TV audience is. It'll be interesting to keep an eye on it, just to see how many people actually watch. But You know, China has to understand that the way they treated the world with this virus was unacceptable. And the lack of information, the lack of transparency, and the way they're violating these human rights violations going on in China are just beyond explanation. And I think we in the West have to show our solidarity with the people of Hong Kong, for example, as well as some of the other minority groups in China being discriminated. We should show our solidarity by not supporting the Olympics. As I said, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. And that's not a knock on the athletes. The athletes are wonderful. They work very hard for these Olympics. But it's really China that I'm angry with. Not the athletes, not the people of China, but it's the government of China that I'm very, very angry with. You know, there was some news out of California. California recently was going to implement a single-pay health care program. They were going to do the first one in the nation, but they dropped the idea, and they dropped it because, frankly, it turned out to be too expensive. They took a look at the numbers and said, we cannot afford this. So they're not going to do their single pay. What they're going to do, I don't know. But they were talking a great deal about California becoming the first state in the union to have a single pay type health care program. That's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because the numbers, as I said before, just did not add up. CNN is going through some problems, to say the least. And the ratings collapse, and not a problem with Jeff Zucker, who was fired, and all the talk about new ownership coming in. There is, in fact, going to be a change in management. I'm not sure if it's technically a change in ownership, but it is going to be a change in management. And you're already hearing from the new management that they're not going to put up with this crazy, you know, one-sided view of everything, you know, this obsession with Trump that the network has had for quite some time. And they're going to try to go back to what CNN used to do very well, which is to be a news organization. You know, some of us remember back during the first Gulf War when CNN, I think a lot of us were introduced to CNN back then, and CNN was an excellent news organization. I mean, you could watch CNN and see coverage of the war. They were very good for international news. I remember when they had that coup attempt in Russia or the Soviet Union against Gorbachev. You know, I used to go to CNN. It was CNN on television or the BBC on the radio. Those were my two sources for international news. And they were very good. I mean, you could rely on CNN for good information. They had some very capable people doing the news and doing the analysis and so on. But they went crazy with Trump. They just went nutty crazy with Trump. And they became nothing but an anti-Trump network. And now they're paying the price. They've lost the audience. They've lost, I've heard 90% of their audience they've lost in the last year. I wouldn't be surprised if that number is correct. They're not drawing any kind of an audience because, you know, first of all, Trump is not president, number one. And after a while, how many times can you talk about Trump before it just gets saturation? I mean, just total saturation of the topic. So I do expect some big changes at CNN. I think some of the good people will stay, and there are some good people in that network. But I think you'll see a lot of the crazy lefties go out because, frankly, the business model that they've been using for the last year just has been a disaster. That's all you can say. Just look at the ratings. Let's look at the ratings. That's all you have to do is look at the ratings. Well, it was 39 years ago today, February the 4th, 1982 or 1983, that we learned about the death of Karen Carpenter. I'm sure those of you who remember the 1970s, you remember Carpenters, Karen and her brother Richard. They were just an absolutely fantastic duo. They just had great songs. Karen Carpenter had one of the most beautiful voices in pop music. I mean, she was just unbelievably beautiful in her voice, her style, her class. Well, she passed away 39 years ago today. It's hard to believe it was that long ago, but man, when you just want to relax, listen to one of their songs. They're just absolutely amazing. Karen Carpenter died on this day in 1983. Amazing. Hard to believe that it happened that many years ago. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.